19th century German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche penned these words when he was only 13 years old. God has given us music so that above all it can lead us upward. Music unites all qualities. It exalts us, diverts us, cheers us up, or breaks the hardest of hearts with the softest of its melancholy tones. But its principal task is to lead our thoughts to higher things, to elevate, even to make us tremble. The musical art often speaks and sounds more penetrating than the words of poetry and takes hold of the most hidden crevices of the heart. He was only 13 years old. There's something special about artistic expression and its ability to say more than words can alone. It can express the deepest parts of our being in a way that words often fall short. As music swells and falls, our hearts can often resonate with the picture it paints, whether or not words are included. In fact, there are times when music is the only thing that can even begin to describe our God, who is so wonderful and so often indescribable. I remember one Good Friday when I was a high school student having one of the most profound worship experiences I had ever had. During a community service, the church that was hosting displayed artistic renderings of Christ on the cross on a screen. And while they played these images after images, we heard the haunting, beautiful harmonies from Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings, which just happens to be my favorite orchestral piece. And if you happen to be friends with me on Facebook, I posted it this week, so you can go listen to it. I was moved to tears as I felt the longing of Christ for the wellness of my soul alongside his suffering. I felt the love of Christ in a way I could never describe in words, nor could have ever been told to me in a sermon. Likewise, different styles of music speaks important truth about who God is and who we are to be. Like the African-American spirituals that thaw out the Protestant heart and call us to be moved by the freedom God gives. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. The praise song invites us to find every opportunity to give God gratitude, even when life seems to be in shambles. In early service, we sing, "From the mountains to the valleys, hear our praises rise to you." Our brethren hymns remind us of who we are and who we are called to serve. I think you might know this one. "Move in our midst, thou Spirit of God. Go with us down from thy holy hill. Walk with us through the storm and the calm. Spirit of God, go thou with us still." And the classical hymns deeply root us in a faith that cannot be shaken by the storms that are raging around us. "No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?" I wish we could say that the worship wars were over, that we no longer felt the need to fight the battle over whose music is appropriate for worship, but these arguments have been going on for centuries. For the brethren, the first worship war was about whether or not instruments were permissible at all in worship. Organs and pianos were considered too ornate for the simple brethren. Now there's the battle between hymns and praise music. We spend way too much time arguing over what music is appropriate in worship rather than recognizing music's ability to call us beyond ourselves. Every pastor has heard the complaint many times, "Pastor, I did not like that song." Or, "That hymn didn't do it for me." But worship is surprisingly not about us. The word worship comes from the Anglo-Saxon word worthship, literally meaning to ascribe worth. Worship is our time to ascribe worth to God. Great church music often inspires us to be sure, even lifts us to the heights, but the church's music lifts us not in order to make us feel good, but in order to help us lift our hearts to God. Music gives us opportunity to raise our voices in praise, and maybe the challenge is for us to always find a way to praise despite our own personal preferences. This may be one way we can celebrate Pentecost every day. Like those who heard the disciples speaking in all sorts of languages, we can hear the music of our own language and still appreciate how the Holy Spirit moves through all of the different styles of music. Every genuine attempt at praise is a worthy one. In our scripture today, Miriam, who is called a prophetess for the first time in this text, is led to sing and dance in response to what God has done for her people. I like to think that Miriam is given the title of prophetess in this story because of the role she plays in calling all to name what God has done and the hope of God's continued care in the future. And she does this in song and dance, in a form of praise that includes her whole being. Now, I have to name the uncomfortable fact that Miriam is leading the people in a song praising the death of the Egyptians. The Israelites have just been brought out of Egypt and narrowly escaped the hands of the Egyptian riders who are pursuing them. While God allows the Israelites to cross the sea on dry land, God brought down the waters on the crossing Egyptians. I think it's okay for us to struggle with this a little bit. In fact, I hope it makes us just uncomfortable enough so we are not tempted to likewise dance and celebrate in the death of our so-called enemies. To do so clearly goes against Christ's commandment to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. However, what I think we can take from this moment is Miriam is leading the people in an authentic song of praise, praise for what God has done among them and how he will continue to be with them. This song and dance is meant to call the people away from their despair of years and years and years of oppression by the Egyptians and into the joy of their new freedom in God. And with percussion in hand, with dance and with song, they joined together in a song of praise. And yes, brethren, they danced. It would have been easy, I think, for the people to sit there at the edge of the waters, thinking back on all they had been through and blame God. In fact, as the people wander through the wilderness for the next 40 years, they will indeed blame God for their plight. But in this moment, Miriam sings and dances her praise to God, and all the women join in with tambourine and dancing. This is worship at its best, when the people are confident of God's power and worship God accordingly. Everyone has heard the initials WWJD, what would Jesus do, right? But how about AMDG? Anybody? Okay, I didn't know it before this. Composer Johann Sebastian Bach believed so strongly that his musical compositions were meant to glorify God that he scratched AMDG on the top of every manuscript. These initials stand for a Latin phrase, ad majorem Dei gloriam, meaning to the greater glory of God. Would that we would take everything as an opportunity to praise God. Would that we would consider every strum of the guitar, every blast of the organ, every strike of the bell as a moment to give glory to God. Would that we would see that whether or not we can carry a tune in a bucket, that any song lifted in praise is a joyful noise to the Lord. Lori Ann Porer once wrote, "God giving us an artistic impulse was intended not just as a source of pleasure for ourselves, and an excuse to celebrate our abilities, but as a link that can bring us close to him and help us understand his love and devotion to us. When we create something, whether with paint or clay, words, architecture, or music, we experience something that must be similar to what God felt when he created this world for us. We know our Creator better when we have opportunities to create. I think that's what it means to be made in God's image, that we are beings who have the ability and the drive to make all things new. And when we do so, inspired by the Spirit, we can do amazing things to the greater glory of God. May we take every opportunity to sing of the goodness of our God, who is the only one worthy of our praise and worship. So let's put it into practice now. In praise of our God, who is the only one that is worthy, let's stand and sing a new song to the one who says, "Behold, I make all things new."